This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, February 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Nutrition bills. John Deere partners with wine growers, and senators target H-2A wages. Nutrition a priority for state lawmakers. Two assembly members have filed legislation aimed at bringing nutritious foods to more Californians. Assembly member Mia Bonta of Oakland wants food as medicine to be a permanent benefit for Medi-Cal recipients. Prescribing healthy diets improves health outcomes in communities of color and reduces healthcare spending, she reasoned. A state pilot program for the food-based intervention has been one of the most used out of a suite of 14 programs addressing social drivers of health. Assemblymember Jackie Irwin of Camarillo, meanwhile, is taking aim at food deserts. Her bill would task CDFA with identifying and overcoming distribution barriers that limit food access. John Deere partners with Sonoma County wine growers. John Deere will join the Farm of the Future initiative spearheaded by Sonoma County wine growers. According to Carissa Cruz, the association's president and CEO, the Living Lab examines ways that farmers can do more with less resources while moving towards more mechanization to increase the longevity of their vineyards. Ford Pro and Wilbur Ellis have signed on to the initiative alongside startups Agrology and Pelnic. John Deere will focus on developing real technology to bring about a real impact, said Sean Sundberg, business integration manager at the company. Appropriators press to freeze H-2A rates. 10 Republican senators are asking House and Senate appropriators to freeze H-2A wage rates at a January 23 level. The wage increase for 24 adds, quote, significant financial strains for producers that rely on acquiring workers through the program, the senators say in a letter going to the Senate and House Appropriation Committees today. Lawmakers are also seeking to reinstate a delay between the posting of adverse effect wage rates and their implementation period, which would be removed under a rule proposed last year by the Labor Department. Any changes to the H-2A program should be subject to thorough and insightful action by Congress, not forced on producers by the executive branch, the Republicans say. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Lines harden on farm bill funding. Democrats on the House Ag Committee are releasing a new position paper today. Makes it clear the partisan standoff over funding a new farm bill is nowhere near an end. The two-page paper flatly rules out cutting nutrition assistance or reallocating Inflation Reduction Act funding to pay for increasing reference prices and other improvements to commodity programs. The top Democrat on the committee, Georgia's David Scott, calls a GOP proposal to reduce SNAP costs by $30 billion dangerous and mean. There's no way I'm going to accept that, and none of the Democrats on this committee are going to accept that, he told reporters ahead of the memo's release. Ohio Representative Chantel Brown, the top Democrat on the subcommittee overseeing commodity programs and crop insurance, says it's up to the House GOP leadership to come up with new funding for a farm bill. Now, take note. Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan makes the same points in a new interview with AgriPulse. She also defends a key crop insurance proposal. Stabenow has proposed to boost premium subsidies for area-based insurance policies along the lines of the existing Stax product for cotton. She says her plan was meant to, quote, jumpstart farm bill discussions. But GOP critics don't like the idea that farmers who bought the buy-up coverage would not be eligible to enroll in the same crops in commodity programs. Justin Benavides, a chief economist at the House Ag Committee majority staff, said, I think that's a bad road to go down. We certainly are not in the practice of taking anything away from people. State Ag Secretaries to meet with top officials. Leaders of state agriculture departments here today from USDA, FDA, and EPA leaders as part of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture winter policy meeting. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, FDA Commissioner Jim Jones, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Alexis Taylor, and EPA Assistant Administrator for Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention Michal Friedhoff are all to address members of the group at USDA. Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McCaleb for the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is also on the schedule. Dicamba decision leaves questions of continued use unresolved. EPA and Dicamba registrants are left with difficult decisions to make in the wake of a court decision vacating registrations of Dicamba, which had been approved for use on cotton and soybeans in 34 states. Registrants Bayer, Syngenta, and BASF intervened in the case and could appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, as could EPA. But chances of success there seem slim, considering it was the Ninth Circuit that vacated Dicamba registrations back in 2020. EPA also could work quickly, as it did in 2020, to fully review the herbicide's environmental and economic impacts, but time is short before the growing season. A bigger question involves whether producers can use existing stocks of the herbicide. In 2020, when EPA canceled the registrations after the court decision, it allowed continued use of the herbicides. Meredith Stevenson, an attorney with the Center for Food Safety, one of the groups that sued EPA, said, we think it's likely there could be an emergency stay filed in the Ninth Circuit any day. It also is possible EPA could authorize the emergency use of the products. In its statement yesterday, Bayer said, quote, our top priority is making sure growers have the approved products and support they need to safely and successfully grow their crops. We will keep our customers updated as soon as we learn more from EPA in advance of the 24 growing season. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Finally, here's today's She Said It. Am I surrounded by people who bring something new to the table? That Janae DaCosta, who is a senior director for public affairs at Driscoll's and serves on the State Board of Food and Ag. In honor of Black History Month, CDFA Secretary Karen Ross spoke with DaCosta and asked for advice on communicating about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, February 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chap Alley.